Well, here we are, 2018. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And we're being hosted by the wonderful law firm, accounting firm of Gray, Gray, and Gray. Well, that means I'm here with Rich Hirsch. And Rich, there's my first faux pas of the new year.
It didn't take long, right? Only early January, but it's good to be here and happy to be part of Radio Entrepreneurs once again.
Well, thanks a lot. And great. You've moved us up to the big room, I noticed. I really appreciate it.
You know, keep it fresh, keep it real. Yeah. So, yeah.
Love these offices in Canton, Massachusetts. Our next guest, serial guest for Radio Entrepreneurs Now, looking quite dapper for 2018, Kevin Smith from Best of Care. Welcome back, Kevin.
Good morning. Thank you to have me.
You know, this whole elder care trend, what did I read? Chris sent us a note recently. Half the population is going to be over the age of 60 within the next year or two or something like that?
You may have read something like that. There is a huge segment of our population that is aging, as we know, the baby boomer population. Much is written, much is discussed about that group. And we're looking at a big, big issue in terms of those folks who want to age in place. They don't want to go to a nursing home. They don't want to go to long-term care facilities. They want to be at home. But in order to keep them there, we need quality home health aides and home care aides who are qualified to go in and deliver the care safely, competently, and compassionately. And that's no small task for agencies like mine or really anybody else in this industry right now.
Do you feel a conflict between, let's say, running a for-profit business and just running a business that's really about altruism?
I do not.
Probably I hope you didn't mind me asking that.
I'm doing it, so
it's paying the bills.
If I felt such conflict, then perhaps I'd have pause. I do not. I feel that people, certainly in this climate, years past and in the future, are happy to pay for a service that they feel is above and beyond the quality that they may get elsewhere, whether that's from a nonprofit or another for-profit, perhaps. But people are willing to pay for a high level and a high quality of professional service. In this situation, it happens to be caregiving.
Right.
Now, you and your family have been in this business for many years. How has the business changed over the last, when did you say you started, mid-80s, the company was founded?
The company was started by my father in 1981. At that point in time, there was virtually no regulation to speak of. Today, in 2018, it has become a very, very, very complex web. The people that we care for are sicker than they've ever been. And the acuity of the patients and the clients who we see at home are really commensurate with nursing home level care, but we're delivering it to them in their own bedroom at home. So the challenges surrounding training, quality, compliance are certainly very difficult to navigate. But if you want to survive, then you have to do
it,
those
right?
things. That's right.
So, you know, are there any trends in the industry that we should be looking at, you know, starting in 2018?
Everybody loves to talk about technology and how that's going to impact this industry. There are really, really a lot of exciting trends when it comes to technology and home care. Something as simple as using, you know, an Amazon Alexa device, you know, for somebody who has dementia or Alzheimer's. Alexa does not care how many times you ask her what time it is, what day it is, where they are. She's going to answer you every single time in an unbiased fashion without any sense of frustration.
And that's the perfect marriage.
Tough to find, but yes, it might be. So that's just one example of ways that people are using technology to sort of connect and stay at home safely.
So has that caused you to change in when you look into the crystal ball of where the company's going to be? Do you think that you'll start needing making some investments in technology and coming up with new ways to help, you know, your patients?
Absolutely. And we try to be at the forefront of that. We try to stay ahead of the curve as much as we can, at least in terms of just knowing what's happening out there so that we can be aware of you know, any important technological updates or changes so that we can implement things like using an Alexa device. Or we can use an app on somebody's phone where the families, the caregivers, and the clients can all communicate in a safe, HIPAA-compliant fashion, and everybody can get updates about their loved ones without having to worry about phone calls or emails. You know, you can get information quickly and just get an update when something changes.
And is your business all based in New England area or Boston area?
Yes. Yeah, so we're headquartered in Quincy, but we just recently expanded not too far from here, actually. We are now in Milton at Fuller Village. It's an independent living community. And our agency was just selected to be the preferred provider of all home care services to any resident in that community who wants to pay privately for home care. We've got an office there. They call us. And we set it up. So we just added about 100 new clients and 50 new caregivers to our team on December 18th.
So ultimately, for our listeners, can you describe the organization so that they understand the context?
Sure. So Best of Care, as I said at the outset of this discussion, was started in 1981. So it's aging and growing at the same time. We are a non-medical home care agency, so we do not deliver any skilled nursing whatsoever. We employ home health aides, homemakers, companions, to deliver assistance with activities of daily living, basically doing what we need to do to keep our clients safe at home, which is where they prefer to be in a non-medical fashion.
What do you think the biggest threat to the business is?
It's definitely the workforce shortage. Mm-hmm. Finding individuals to do this work is very, very challenging. So in order to do that, we've had to be very creative recently. We recently formed a partnership with Quincy College, whereby they're in the same building as us in Quincy. Any student who's interested in becoming a home health aide can participate in a training program. It's free of cost to them. They graduate with a home health aide certificate and guaranteed them.
And now you took over the business, or you're working with your father on the business. How did that transition go? And any war stories or any advice you want to give for other entrepreneurs that are transitioning from one generation to the next?
I know this program is familiar with the Family Business Association, and we are a part of that as well. So it's nice to be a part of that community and see, you know, what other people are going through and try to share some thoughts. But with respect to our family business, really there has not been much of a, you know, attention or push-pull. I think my father was sort of right at the sweet spot in terms of his age and his position within the company, that he was okay to take a few steps back, let me become the key decision maker, and start pushing this thing in the direction that it needs to go in, and not have to worry about, you know, being involved in many of the, you know, critical decisions that I need to make. So from that perspective, it was a smooth transition. I think he enjoys being on the Cape, working in his office down there. It's almost like a little microcosm of our whole business down there in that area. So it's worked really well. I don't have a ton of great advice for anybody who's in a family business.
Any other family members involved? Was your mother involved?
My mother was employed by Best of Care for many, many years. She worked in the office. She did all kinds of odd jobs. She worked out in the field a little bit doing some supervision. I've had an aunt who has been employed as a home health aide for a long time. I've got another aunt who's in the office. So
wow.
There's a lot of us, and
that's five and counting.
I've got two kids now, so who knows what the future holds for them. But if we're still doing this thing, then the door's open to them too.
You know, one thing I heard you talk about advice, and Jeff, I'm sure you see this a lot. You said your father was ready to give up control and allow you to start making decisions. And I see that a lot. And Jeff, curious your thoughts that, you know, that generation that is starting to phase out at some point needs to be comfortable giving that up and allowing the next generation to take over. And sometimes that's a big hurdle for the person to get across. They've started the company in many cases and have made the decisions all these years and just can't let go.
I think that's 80% of the battle, is just having a patriarch or a matriarch who wants to let go. And that's even bigger than just the next generation having the skills and the motivation to do it right. It's really, what does it mean to let go and what's the proper process? Rich is right on the money with that.
I agree with that as well. And luckily in our situation, he had been doing it long enough and sort of seen enough and been through enough that he said, I'm more than happy.
So it's all yours. Get me out of here.
To let somebody else you know, take on some of these challenges and face them in a different way than he had, which I think excited him as well to see the direction that I'm, you know, deciding to take things.
Well, that's the beauty of it too. You know, you get the next generation with some new ideas and fresh ideas, and, you know, sometimes more plugged into what that generation's thinking that can, you know, bring that to the company.
Right.
Kevin, great having you on. Will you come back this year again and talk to us more about trends that you're seeing in the market? Because I know things are changing.
I will come back anytime. I'm happy to be a guest on this program. Thank you.
You know, even with healthcare, I assume this whole new tax law with transfer of assets is going to affect some families.
It does. And the way that families are preparing for their own future to make sure that they have the appropriate assets and the appropriate finances to take care of their loved ones is an important discussion in every family. They're working with other professionals. They're working with their attorneys, their accountants, et cetera, to make sure they have a plan in place because this care can be very expensive.
Right. Very expensive, as we know. Kevin, if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
They can just go to www.bestofcareinc.com or they can email me at any time, kevin@bestofcareinc.com.
Great. Again, we've been speaking with Kevin Smith, Best of Care, repeat visitor to Radio Entrepreneurs, and we hope we'll continue to be a repeat visitor and friend. Also friends of the Family Business Association, which both Gray and Gray and Mage are participants in. And Rich was our treasurer, weren't you, for a while?
Yeah, I was treasurer for 3 or 4 years. That's
yes,
right.
You were the keeper of the coin.
Yes, you could say that.
And that's Rich Hershen talking from Gray, Gray & Gray, our host today on Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.